go. I hope that they stay. Should they stay or should they go now?
I've heard that the indications are it's going to work out. They're going to stay, and that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A month ago, I don't know how long ago it was, we were doing one of our absinthe shows, now apparently one of our regular monthly absinthe shows, and I'd had a little bit. Uh-huh. And as Ron and Fez were walking into the building, because they do a split shift, they have to work at 11 at night and at 7 at night, 11 in the morning and 7 at night,
mm-hmm.
we don't see them a lot. As they're walking in the building, because I was loaded, I said, hey, Ron and Fez, come on in here. Tell us if you're leaving to go to Tampa.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is, you know, listen, I'm in the radio business.
Right.
I talk to other radio people. We gossip.
Mm-hmm.
You gossip about stuff.
Right.
So then the next thing, you know, over the last, even before this started, Cameron Gray, the program director, is coming in and giving me, as it turns out, what's great material. We haven't gotten to it yet. Tapes and resumes from disc jockeys who want to work at our radio station, WJFK.
Right.
And the reason that they're sending these tapes and that we have all of these bad DJ tapes to listen to is because there was an ad
mm-hmm.
printed in the trade magazine
mm-hmm.
that said WJFK has an opening.
Or on an internet tip sheet.
Yeah, well, actually, it's not even internet. It's something you got to pay for.
Okay.
Okay, and it might be internet that you have to pay for, but either way.
Uh-huh.
So, to preface this a bit more, about a month ago, when Cameron came in with one of these DJ tapes to give me, say, hey, this would be funny for the show, and I said, I agree, I read the letter, and the cover letter said, Dear Cameron, I'd love to work at WJFK. It's a great heritage station. We could do a great job filling the shoes of Ron and Fez,
mm-hmm.
the guys that are on after us.
Hmm.
So I call Cameron in, because despite what you might think, I'm not a total jerk. I call Cameron in, and I say, hey, dude, you know, I'm glad you're giving us the tapes, but like this letter says that they're going to replace Ron, they want Ron and Fez's job. I don't feel cool reading this. Like, this is not, you know, this, regardless of what I say,
right.
Drunk if I said to them, hey, come tell us what's happening. I said, I don't feel cool with this. Cameron said, and his quote was, that ran by accident. Hmm. That ad ran by accident.
Now, yes. Here's the deal. When you talk about an ad going into a publication of any kind, an accident is strange because you have to contact the people that run the place. You have to pay money to run the ad. You have to compose the ad. You have to put the phone numbers in. It didn't seem very plausible that would be an accident.
I know that I embellish on the show, and I do because it's a show.
Yeah.
But sometimes I tell you flat square, as Joe Theismann would say.
I'll be flat square honest with you.
I don't BS you. Right. You know, and my wife gets mad at me because I say all the time, I swear on my kid's life. I say, well, that's the only way that the people will know that I'm not, that I'm dropping the facade of doing the show for a second.
Right.
To say, I mean, I love my kid more than anything in the world. I trade my life for his in a New York second.
Right.
So when I say that, I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Cameron, I swear on my kid's life. You came in here and said that ad was an accident. And not only did you say it to me, you said it with Rob in the room.
Yeah,
Rob was standing right
there. The ad ran as an accident.
So Cameron came in yesterday on our show and said, I never said that. Now, I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill,
mm-hmm.
but it does stick in your craw a bit.
Right.
The guy's lying. Now, here's the thing about these management guys. They're so stupid. I understand that they're negotiating with these other disc jockeys, and I understand that there are levels of negotiation that go on.
Mm-hmm.
All he'd have to do is come in and say, listen, you know, hey, drop this topic. You know,
anything off air that's of a sensitive nature, we wouldn't be in this business for as long as we've been in it if we did not, when asked, back off on something.
So if he just came in and said, or even if he came in when he was on the air and said, hey, it's all about negotiating. We have a position, they have a position. Let's just drop this.
But instead, we get kind of half-truths. We get cryptic comments.
He lies. He lies about having said it. And then the general manager, so one of them says, either the program director or the general manager says, well, the only reason the ad was even out there is because you said something about...
Well, Cameron said that initially.
No, said this on your show.
That it was out there because we had said something on our show. And then Alan, at the end of the day yesterday, said, no one in this company placed that ad. Now, if you really want to get into semantics, there are ways you can talk around anything.
Even though Alan also said, on a separate occasion to me, as he said yesterday on the show, he also told me that the fact that this ad ran...
As an accident.
Now... Mm-hmm. We took the time to get in touch with the guy from the on-air tip sheet company.
Okay.
Here is the note that he sent to Cameron, which was forwarded to Rob, and I'm going to read it to you now. To whom or who, to whom it may concern about Cameron, this is to let you and all interested parties know that the listing for the night opportunity on WJFK came about as a news item from All Access. That is yet another disc jockey gossip job service.
Uh-huh.
I picked up on the item while the industry at large was in a frenzy over the Bubba the Love Sponge and Stern.
Uh-huh.
It was to be no more than a potential opening based on rumor,
yep,
and should have run in the tip sheet, only I lost track of it with the 600 other gigs that are listed. Sorry for any discomfort or ill feelings. It was just a hot tip with no temperature.
Okay.
It was not sent to me by anyone. Regards and regrets, Tom Hamilton. Now,
that would exonerate everybody.
However, hear me for a second. If all of that is true, why would both Cameron and Alan say the ad was a, the word was,
it ran as an accident.
It ran as an accident.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody did this to you, you're running a business, they run an ad that's not true. If you're talking about it with somebody, you characterize it as an accident?
No, you would say the truth. You would say that this ran because somebody picked up on it.
Okay.
They got it from like a website.
Right, okay. Would you just...
Why are they saying... This speaks to the way they do stuff around here.
And this is why I don't believe them, because... I'll tell you what an accident is. Walking out on the street and getting hit by a bus.
Falling off a ladder. That's an accident.
Now, Buzz, that's debatable.
Okay.
That's debatable.
It ran as an accident. Why are they saying it like that?
I don't know. Why wouldn't
you? You know, it's, but what it does, look.
Why wouldn't you just say?
Here's why I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because you're absolutely right. Why would they say it like that? And when they say it like that, it arouses suspicion. And the thing that's tough about this is the fact that now the guy that runs it has said, yes, he runs ads based on rumors. So in other words, they are exonerated from this. But if they're exonerated, why didn't they just come out and say that in the first place?
And you know
why did they have to be
so
cryptic?
Because they're lying. Because why else would they if they weren't lying? Why do people lie? Why do people lie?
There's one other reason.
People lie because sometimes the truth doesn't fit.
No. I mean, there's one other reason besides why would they lie.
Why?
You know, the stupidity factor.
Oh, but no. I've got an answer for that. If there's anything that we know about Alan Line 1,
mm-hmm,
since he got this faux job as the general manager here.
You can't call him acting anymore.
And that's why I called him
right.
Fono, F-A-U-X. Even though he's the, you know, the general manager, he is, because his job is tenuous at best. I mean, he's sitting on a rocky seat he has for a long time. He has dotted every T and crossed every I, and I know I got it backwards, but you know what I mean.
I know.
Every detail, yeah. Trust me, I know Alan. I'm looking at this ad.
But you know what kills me here? What kills me here is they can put it to rest now.
But here's the thing. Hold on. I'm looking at the ad, uh-huh, and it's, if I'm Alan, and thank you God that I'm not, uh-huh, but I could picture being Alan. Alan would look at this because it's on this tip sheet. It's got WJFK FM. It's got the address. It's his equal opportunity employer. If I'm Alan, the first thing I do, being as I'm paranoid and worried that I'm going to lose my job and everything else, I call this guy up and I say, hey, Hal, you're killing me here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alan has demonstrated this, mm-hmm, before, mm-hmm, that if there's something out in the marketplace, something out in the industry that doesn't have his seal of approval on it, something that if a muckety-muck from Infinity comes to him and says, how can this get out there? If he doesn't have the answer, that's how he bases his whole existence.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That everything is buttoned down and he has an answer to everything.
Right. I'd be curious if they came down on this guy for running this thing.
Not a word.
And
it's an accident.
And just one other little point of order. The information you have in your hand,
yeah,
came to us through Rob or through
Cameron?
Cameron. It
Cameron
came through Cameron.
The email came to Cameron. Cameron forwarded it to Rob. Rob forwarded it to me. So,
and if this guy...
What?
I spoke to the guy. I mean, it's genuine.
Oh, you spoke to the guy at the tip sheet?
Yeah.
Oh, you... Well, Rob, step up.
Well,
come here.
There's nothing to add.
Well, what did the guy say? Did you grill him?
Don was there. I mean, he was basically...
Yeah, he grilled him, but not like I would grill him. You know Rob. Rob was being nice with the guy. And meanwhile, I was having to say to Rob, ask him how come it says EEO. How come it says all that stuff?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. What were his answers to that?
I said, what about the stuff that says EEO? Did that come from the tip? He says, that's added. I think he says,
that he had a word for it. It was to the tune that it's rote. I mean, he always puts that on.
It's rote.
I mean,
R-O-T-E.
That's just what how they add it.
It's written. You mean?
Well, no, not rote like that, but it's just
by rote.
It's by habit.
So they put that down there in every ad that they run.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well. But now is. But let me also say that as I'm looking at these ads,
this exonerates the people here.
Let me tell you some of the things that
it
says.
Court of law.
Let me tell you some of the things it says below each ad, because it's not the same thing. Underneath one of the ads, it says full time EOE major market experience required, no telephone calls.
Hmm.
The next ad says full time send tape and resume, EOE, computer skills selector, multi track and track analog appearances, must know the music, no calls.
Hmm.
Another one says full time EOE, computer skills selector, no calls. Another one says full time send tape and resume, ENE, no calls. The one for the ad that allegedly didn't run says full time send tape and resume, EOE, major market experience required. Please, no phone calls. My point on this is there's not one standard after the ad thing that runs. Every one of these is different, unless mm-hmm. the guy at the tip sheet says, oh, on this one I'm going to say EEO, on this one I'm going to say...
I think he indicated that if it's not something specific, he puts on what he put on
okay,
for that
then,
one.
Then let's just...
So there's a chance that this guy writes the ads to look more credible than they actually may even be.
Makes his tip sheet look better.
Ah, then...
But let's call Alan, though. Because so how is it an accident?
Well, that this place.
How is it an accident?
You know what about this?
And
place?
Here's the other thing about.
You know, you realize now, though.
Here's the other thing, though. But they imagine this. Imagine that Ron and Fez are driving to work one day when we're doing the absinthe show, and they hear me saying, "Hey, are you gonna go to Tampa Bay? Why don't you come and talk about it?" They go to Alan, and Alan says, "Oh, I can't control anything they say." And then let's say the next day. That somebody goes to Ron and Fez and says, hey, there's an ad for your job.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to Alan. You know what Alan says? That's Don. He just won't shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they're trying to blame me for being the bad
guy.
Wait a minute,
but you got your information. You didn't get your information from the thin air. You got your information from another source.
I know I did. But,
I mean,
Cameron,
but a source that disc jockeys can read.
But Cameron indicated yesterday that the whole thing started by something that we said on our show.
And that is not true. All right, well, we're going to move past this ad thing because that's not true.
I don't believe that's true.
I believe they got it from that thing.
I know.
That's where they got it.
One of these dummies from upstairs would just be honest.
Oh, mercy.
You know what I mean?
You see, they're trying to palm it off of us, and we're calling them liars, and, you know.
Hi, it's Cameron.
Cameron, it's Don and Mike.
Cameron, have you been listening to all this?
I have.
All right, so how is it an accident?
Yes.
The whole ad thing, how is it an accident? Can you explain that to me?
Who said it's an accident?
Didn't Alan say it was an accident?
I don't know what Alan said.
Oh,
on this show yesterday, Alan...
Aren't I exonerated?
No.
How?
On this show yesterday, Alan said, I told you privately it was an accident. And Cameron, really, I swear on my kid's life, you came into the studio when I showed you the letter from the guys from San Diego that had the names Ron and Fez, and I said, I don't feel cool reading this because of the ad that obviously is run, and you said... The ad ran as an accident.
Right,
I swear
when you were
on
talking,
my kid's life you said that.
Well, absolutely, and I believe you. But yesterday when you were talking about it, you were saying that my quote was that I placed the ad by accident, which I denied.
All right. Then
that's
let me,
all I was denying.
You know what? You know,
I don't deny your conversation.
Okay, I'm going to let you slide on that, but I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think this guy got his information? And I don't, because I don't
he
think
he said from All Access.
Okay. What is All Access? A website?
One of those websites.
Oh, okay.
Gossip.
So when the statement was made that they got it from our show, that's incorrect also. If we exonerate you...
Well, that's cool. No, that's fine. I'm just saying the rumor was out there, so I don't know where it came from.
The rumor... What rumor was out there?
The rumor about Ron and Fez.
What rumor about Ron and Fez?
All the assorted rumors about their potential move.
Okay, but the thing is, we it was indicated to us that they got that this ad ran
because,
based on Don saying something on the show. And that's absolutely not true.
Okay, well, that's fine. But I'm saying
not that's fine. That has been reported. That rumor was out there on, geez, what do I say, FMQB.com?
I mean, it was the rumor mill was generated long before Don said anything on the show.
Sure, sure. No, and if I said that, I apologize, too.
Okay.
So you do admit when you came down here that, do you or do you not remember the conversation where you said...
I talked to Rob after the show, and I remember discussing the ad, but all I was denying yesterday was your statement that I regretted placing the ad, which I never did.
No. Not that you regret.
No, wait. We've reached a conclusion here.
No, absolutely.
Cameron, I believe, did not run the ad. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that the ad was not in there because of something that Don said on the show, and you've acknowledged that, Cameron.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, then what about yesterday? This is my only issue, Mike.
What?
Is that the guy came down here a month ago and I asked him about this, and he said, his quote was, the ad ran as an accident. As a matter of fact, not only did you say that it ran as an accident, you said it ran as an accident in the Columbia or Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I'm not sure which.
Is that
you? You even said the name of a trade magazine, which is not the one that we're reading the ad out of, that the ad ran by mistake in that trade. You said that.
What about that, Cameron?
No, I was just piecing it together from information I received the day before.
Was there an ad that ran in the Connecticut School of Broadcasting?
No. They put out a sheet to their people of potential jobs, and according to CSB, Alex found out for us, according to CSB, they reprint stuff that appears in the on-air tip sheet.
Oh, okay. All right. So they took that on air.
They took that wrong information and sent it out to all their people.
All right. Okay.
Uh-huh. So, but you do remember when you came down and said that an ad ran as a mistake.
I vaguely remember that, yes.
Vaguely remember.
That's all we're going to get.
That's, you're our program director. That's as much as we're going to get.
That's as much as we're going to. And we are not culpable for this ad.
No, and you know, I'm wondering.
None of us are.
No, hold on. I think you guys are. You're dopes. You're dopes the way you negotiate contracts.
I don't negotiate contracts.
Just like you're dopes when you did our contract.
I didn't negotiate your contract.
Well, I know, because you're worthless, because you're a program director. All right, at least we're agreed that you don't have anything to do with that process. But the people who have something to do with that process are dopes. They really are. they screw it up every time. And I don't care what you do with the other disc jockeys, except when I think the other disc jockeys might be giving us the cold shoulder because maybe they got the impression that we said something that turned into this gigantic firestorm when in reality we didn't do it. And as far as I know, nobody on our team, meaning you or the jackass down the hall, went to those guys to say, hey, this is not about Don and Mike. You didn't do that. And I know you've had conversations with Ron and Fez about their contract because you're negotiating it with them now.
Well, don't say the universal we. I don't.
All right, but you know, seriously.
I understand what you're saying.
Do you understand what our concern is?
I certainly do.
And can you do something?
And you understood mine yesterday.
But can you do something about our concern now?
Okay.
About the fact that they might be concerned that this entire ad situation was a result of something said on this show?
They already know.
They already know.
It's all set.
Hmm. Really? How do they already know?
Because I told him yesterday, when I got the email from the tipsy people, I told him it was all a big misunderstanding.
All right.
So do they know that you're the dumbass and Alan's the dumbass?
How exactly are we the dumbass?
Well, you have to take that bullet.
Someone has to be the dumbass. Is these guys' careers, somebody has to be the dumbass.
How's that going with them? I mean, you must be aware of how it's going with them, out of curiosity.
I mean, they have a lot of fans out here, and I understand they don't want to talk about it.
How would you characterize, and you can speak on the record or off the record, or you can, give the Fifth Amendment deal.
I'll defer to my leader on that.
Defer to your leader. Who's your leader, Alan?
Yes.
That's a hopeless tribe.
Yeah, hopeless basically. Tribe.
You got no chance. You're never getting off the island with him. He's your fearless leader. Christ.
Well, it sounds like you have exonerated us as far as being in any way responsible for this ad. And technically, if this little tip sheet gets their information from other websites, then we are exonerated as well.
Do you have a comment about the other thing, about the thing that's on DCR-TV?
What thing?
What thing? Like you guys don't read that thing every day?
I swear I don't.
You're a liar.
I swear. I'm not going to lie to you. I swear to God, I don't read that.
Here's the deal. At least I said to you the other day about this website, DCR-TV.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I try not to go there. And it's really been my New Year's resolution not to go there. I don't need to see like 8 million people writing that our show stinks. And,
right.
You know, I don't need to see it. But I look at it.
I'm being replaced.
But I look at it, and, you know, it's embarrassing when Michael Hughes writes stuff to this guy that runs a website telling him that his information was, which was incidentally about you,
right.
The guy put on a website that you're getting fired, and the next thing you know, Michael Hughes, who you would think has more important things to do, he's a vice president, he sends an email to the guy at the mm-hmm. website saying, incidentally, I'm not firing Cameron. It says on there today that Ron and Fez are going to be on in Baltimore after us on Live 105.
Hey, you know anything about that?
Nope.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
That might indicate that they may have...
That's a good question Buzz brings up, Cameron. Wouldn't that be exciting?
I think it'd be a great idea.
Wow. You know, they all have different styles, they get the position, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, they all turn into reptiles, and I mean reptiles. And Cameron,
you know,
you're upholding a great tradition.
Thank you.
You know, we get the rap around here, and we're trying to fix this. Trust me, Cameron, we're trying to fix it. We're moving our office downstairs, trying to get things right here. You guys just don't help us. You don't friggin' help
us. Yeah, we need help.
Give
us more help, okay?
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, and how are you going to help us?
You ask me for help, and it's yours.
Well, how are you going to help
us? How are you going to help us?
How are you asking for help?
No! Wrong answer!
I support you guys 24-7, 365.
I don't care about you supporting us. We don't need your support. We're self-sufficient.
So you don't need my help.
We're moving our offices down here. We inter-office image makeover.
Yes!
That's how we need help.
But what do you need my help with?
We've discussed it because you hold the puppet figure of program director.
Yes.
Because the people in this building who don't know how things work actually think that you have something to do with the decision process.
Foolish them.
As you have just proven, you have nothing to do with the decision process unless that's, you know, again, some scheme that you're conjuring up.
Here you go, Cameron. You want a directive?
Yes, sir.
Here's a directive.
Yes.
Use all your powers and all your powers of persuasion and all your powers.
Powers.
To
Austin Powers.
You know, to help our rap among the employees here. That's what I'm asking you.
You know,
anything you can come up with.
Now listen, here's the thing. We got
not
the
that
thing.
It's done. It's a you know.
We've been through the thing with people with the don't look at us, don't talk to us, don't make eye contact with us. So we're moving our
incidentally
office.
Since the whole office thing, I sense that changing.
Yes,
which
so
is,
do
which
I.
is good.
Good.
Yeah.
So now we're moving the office and we're telling people don't believe what management has told you. You know, I mean, listen, and let's not get crazy. You know what I mean? Say hello, but let's limit it to that.
Right.
But, you know, certainly, come on, say hi. Let's get to know people.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need an hour-long conversation.
Friendly, okay, Chef, not too friendly.
But we want to, you know, we want to reconnect with the people here. If they want to reconnect with us. You know, the people that work here.
I think they do. I know they do.
Ed, well, it's going to be a better, fun place.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be very exciting.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you might want to start with the two guys that are on after us. I mean, I don't know what other way to do it than to say it on the radio. Than to say, yesterday we spent an hour talking about Ron and Fez and how we thought they were getting screwed over. And how we think you're screwing us over. I turned the radio on, I don't hear a word from them last night. And I guess I don't know, because they're still hearing stuff from you guys, like, well, I don't know, Don and Mike are saying on their show you're going to Tampa Bay.
I think it's fair to give them a, you know, little...
But you just tell them, you want to be on the team. We want them to be on the team. God, they don't have to come in and do a friggin' bit with us every day. We don't want that. But how about a hello? And the reason I think that we don't get the hello, besides the fact that they're working a split shift,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that they got this thing built into their head. You know, they got this thing built in there that, for whatever reason, you know, we're not behind them. And that's perpetuated by dopes like you.
How do I perpetuate this?
By not immediately telling them a month ago that we had nothing to do with any ad going in a trade.
I think you're thinking too much about it. No one ever said you did.
Well, we just if the original message can be digested here, it's that we want some help.
And incidentally, it was inferred.
We're doing our part. We want you guys to
It was inferred
help.
Yesterday by you and your tribal leader.
Yeah.
That the reason that the whole thing got out there was
yeah.
because we made a comment on our shows.
So Cameron, it really was. You know
so
it really
don't
was.
Say that. Don't say, well, no, it wasn't like that. Because it was.
I mean, maybe you took care of it last night, but
okay,
prior
fair
to that.
Fair point.
All right, good.
All right, dude.
All right.
Anyway.
All right, have a happy day.
How you feeling about your job?
Tentative as always.
Tentative as always?
Every day. Have you gotten a reassurance? Have you gotten a vote of confidence?
I guess.
All right, good.
Really?
Good.
Who gave you a vote of confidence?
Many of my peers.
Really? Who's
your peers or what about your superiors?
Them too.
As your peers, secondary.
Did Jag come up and say we're
yeah,
really
Jag,
behind you?
Jag and Coletta, way behind me.
They're good right. people.
How long really do you think you'll be here in this job?
I don't know. I'm counting the days.
You think you'll make it through the calendar year?
The calendar year?
You think you're going to make it through the year 2004?
I do not know.
You think there's a
Cameron, if I can give you a piece of advice just on my observations and certainly with
recent developments in other markets around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do your job real, real well. If you just like wallow,
according
in
to Don, I don't.
If no, but well, that's good. That's a good thing then. If you
that
just wallow,
you're gonna get a nice big promotion.
Mediocrity is rewarded around
then
here.
Then I will continue to suck.
All right, then for the then we will close this issue.
Excellent.
We're done. We're done with this, with the whole goddamn thing about the ad.
Who needs a drink?
Me.
For the record, what is your name?
Cameron Gray.
Might as well go back to the old Jack.
Yeah. All right, Cameron. Keep taking your pills.
Thank you, Cameron.
Goodbye.
Bye. There he goes.
There he is.
He handled himself as well as can be expected. Idiot program director. Idiot program director, and I'm trying to think of the name. Oh, it finally came
to me. Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, operations director.
There it is. There he is. Cameron Gray. Hello, Rich. Don and Mike show. Here's, if Cameron's listening upstairs, these are words, I believe, that are going to make his ears bleed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it me, or with every conversation on the radio that Cameron Gray has, he sounds more and more like a gentleman named Jeremy Coleman?
You are... Give him a prize. I was thinking that as we were talking to Cameron. It seems, was remarkable.
Seems harsh.
It's very scary.
I don't think it's harsh.
I know.
It's scary.
And it's going to mean a lifestyle change.
Oh, God.
My friend. Well, because, you know, Cameron is a hard worker and Jeremy is more laid back.
Right, exactly.
Jeremy enjoys his time. I like Cameron, who's in 24 hours a day.
Of course.
Listen, for identifying that fact that Jeremy and Cameron are very much alike.
Very scary.
You have won the Sex and the City Part 1 DVD. It's a box set now available on video and DVD. Sex and the City, the complete 6th season, Part 1. That's from HBO. And thank you for listening.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Not that there's anything wrong with being laid back.
Yeah. You know, though, you know, seriously, I look forward, and this is, maybe I even shouldn't ask for this, but
what?
Wouldn't you love one of them just to like scream a little bit, scream and yell a little bit?
Freak
like,
out, flip
you
out.
Know, like, yeah. I did it! You're wrong! Don't call me a liar! Just once.
Those days are gone.
Goodman used to do that.
So did Stevens.
Once in a while.
Yeah, but
I'm not!
Yeah, but Stevens...
Stevens really did it.
And I love referring to him now as just his last name. He's no longer Ken Stevens. Now he's just Stevens. When Stevens was here, you'd have to poke him and prod him
and call him
and bother him.
Right. really.
I'm okay just mentioning the name.
Yeah, it gets you all choked up.
The magic of Ken Stevens was that if he was a scab...
God damn, what is wrong with
him? Uh-oh, God.
Okay, your legs.
You would... Pick it, Cannon.
And then finally, he would absolutely explode.
Better. Yeah, better. That was the magic of it.
Oh, here you go. Here's the tape of Ken one time.
He's good.
He was just chilling out and telling us he's not. And then he finally said,
I'm not!
That was great.
Ken, excuse me, Stevens.
I'm not!
Stevens out.
That was delightful.
It was.
Stevens losing control.
He.
Unlike Gray. Coleman lost control.
I'm not!
Coleman lost control quite often.
Did he really?
Private, though.
In private.
Yeah. Don't you remember the private? I cannot have you acting like this at my radio station.
You know what he would love to do? He'd love to throw things.
You know, I don't think I saw him do that.
Oh, I saw him heave a stapler one time.
Oh, I saw him throw a stapler, too.
Yeah.
I guess it was handy.
You know, I never, you know, I was always late.
And I was surprised. Yeah. He's kind of like Mr. Burns. I was surprised that he had the strength to pick the stapler up.
Smithers, rehydrate me.
That was another great one from Sunday night. Smithers said, Burns goes, I will squash Homer Simpson like a bug, or Lisa Simpson like a bug. And there was a bug, and he tried to squash him. But he wasn't strong enough to do it.
The bug pushed back.
The bug knocked him down. Yeah, you know what? We need the absinthe guy in here.
Yeah.
And Buzz, this is your buddy. This is
Jacob.
The original absinthe guy.
Right. He lives in Prague, Czechoslovakia. Now.
And he's brought a supply.
Mm-hmm. Met him out in the lobby. Seems like a nice guy.
He's got the real stuff. He's got what, like absinthe light. He's got the stepped on stuff. He's got absinthe.
He's got regular absinthe. And he's got my personal favorite, the souped up super ethyl absinthium.
Absinthe. Now, Mike, you don't like the absinthe deal?
Buzz made that cocktail, and I just maintain that the first time we tried it. Are we on number three here? Is this the number three absinthe show?
Yes.
I maintain.
And it's not a full blown absinthe show, but
right? Well, it's a half of one.
Try the absinthe again this time. Try the pure absinthe this
right.
time.
Okay.
And he was kind enough to bring me some plum wine.
Yeah, very good. Yes, he's just full of booze.
Plum wine.
It's very exciting. Brandy, isn't it?
Yeah, you're. Forgive me. It is brandy.
Where's my plum wine?
Plum wine.
With my plum wine and my Sam Harris album. Okay, we got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The world's finest surfers showed up today to do battle with what's turned out to be the biggest waves to hit this coast since 1946. Hello, everybody. I'm Stu Nahan. I'd like you to meet this young man. His name, Jeff Spicoli. And, Jeff, congratulations to you. Things look kind of rough out there today.
Well, I'll tell you, Stu, I did battle some humongous waves. But, you know, just like I told the guy on ABC, danger is my business.
You know, a lot of people expect that maybe Mark Cutback Davis or Bob Jungle Death Gerard would take the honors this year.
Oh, those guys are fast.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yes, company.
Get out of here, Curtis. I don't hear you unless you knock.
Hello.
Trying desperately to give the human spirit some credit. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me?
She said.
Oh, that's a great one.
Promise that you made. I love the Doors.
Yeah.
And I love the Doors because my dad hated them so much. And when they were on Ed Sullivan. And I remember when they were on doing Touch Me. And they had violins yes. and the cello player. And that pissed my dad off even more.
Really?
But there was Jim Morrison.
What do they need this for?
There was Jim Morrison up there, obviously high, got his pants pulled down, the crack of his butt going, you know. And the way he sang that, where he always looked like he was in a coma.
Right, exactly.
I mean, just absolutely.
Holding the microphone.
What was that promise that you made?
And I'm digging on him like 11 years old, yeah. digging on him. Here's my dad going. Oh, now what are they doing here? Because the musicians all had short hair. The musicians, how's your microphone, Mike?
It's great, Don. What were the musicians all what?
The musicians all looked like Wendell Hall, our engineer.
Short hair.
They had very short hair. Is there someone we can help you with that microphone once and for all?
No.
I mean, because every day. What is it?
No. Here's the deal. Somebody's coming in. And doing a whole day. It's never happened before, but every night, I think it's changing. I don't know. Or every day or something. I mean, what's happening.
What is the problem?
Well, the problem there was that it had come loose because of a lot of adjusting. And
see, there's a cord that goes.
That has nothing to do with the cord. It just has to do with this.
What is this, though?
You say this little pipe that screws into the boom mic and this is the mic stand.
Yeah.
And it was coming loose and it was going to fall, and that's why I had to adjust it.
So who should...
really not a problem.
Who should fix
nothing
it?
I'm going to really worry about.
Who should fix it? Who should fix it?
I know who should fix it.
Winner!
The man that's out in the lobby.
The absinthe guy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That'll fix
all
it.
Right, bring it.
That's who's going to fix it.
Fix everything.
Bring him in.
You know, it's a mic stand, and every day it's like turned into something special.
Bring in the absinthe guy.
Jacob, no problem at all.
Boy, you're steamed.
I'm steamed.
You should let it go. Every day, somebody is screwing with this microphone. Every single day. And the problem
and it's
is
the only piece of equipment outside of my headphones and my chair. I have three pieces of equipment, and every goddamn day somebody comes in here and messes around with this.
And again, for those who can't see what you're doing with your
I'm
hands,
playing with the boom mic right
this
here.
This is what
boom.
You're talking about. What
in that particular
this?
Time? Because there's been and it's still not quite right. It's just you know, I was worried that it was going to fall because it's been. Jerry rigged so many
you.
Times, but now I'm fine. I just got that off my chest.
Okay, no,
you're right. I was a little.
I'm
steamed.
Glad you did.
I was a little steamed.
I'm glad you got it off your chest.
You know, I mean, I am a lot of things at this radio station, but one thing when it comes to the technical aspect of doing this program,
mm-hmm. yes,
I am not a demanding person. I do not require a lot.
No, you need a comfortable chair. You
comfortable
need a microphone.
Chair, microphone, and my headphones working. I'm done. I'm it. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't need a computer. I don't need anything. I 7 years ago I asked for a telephone that doesn't work. I can't make outgoing phone calls on it. That's okay. I don't even complain about that. That's all right.
I didn't know your phone didn't work.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't work. On the 444 line.
Yeah.
When I normally, you know, make phone calls out, I don't think I can do that anymore.
Oh well.
Here. And I think that's been.
I'm very sorry about that.
That's okay.
And I'm sorry about your microphone.
How often do I make a phone call, outgoing phone call, when I'm in the studio? Never.
Not so much.
Okay. Well, but
so it's not a big deal. So I don't even complain about
that. But the microphone is a big deal.
Microphone's number one.
Okay.
You know, and you know what I do? I mean, I'm constantly doing little adjustments on it and stuff, and I need a little, it's got to have a little play in it, little flexibility. Look
there
at that.
There you go.
That.
This is the guy with the bottles.
Look at that.
I think you came at the right time, my friend. And now, where are you from? Prague?
Yeah, I'm living in Prague, Czech Republic.
Living in the Prague.
I like the music.
Living in Prague-ville. Look at all these different colors. Now, this guy's name is Jacob. Buzz, how do we know this guy, Jacob?
Well, Jacob emailed and also sent us and mailed to us some bottles of absinthe. Did it before, and he's brought more with him today.
Yeah, you've got several different bottles there, right?
I've got two different kinds here. I've got the Absinthium 1792,
and then the
one that's exclusive for our website that Mike liked a lot was the Green Fairy.
And now the Green Fairy is the goods, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, what is your website, Jacob?
It's www.greenfairy.org.
Now, is this legal to order the stuff in the United States?
Yeah, as long as you're ordering it from outside of the United States.
Yeah, it is legal to order it outside the United States.
Mike is clutching that the way Susan Lucci clutches her Emmy Award.
You can't. And a nicer bottle, a little more modern bottle than the last bottle you sent with this stuff.
We changed bottles. It's a bit of a smaller size, but...
All right, now, what about the stories I've heard?
Goes a long way.
What about the stories I've heard, Jacob, that if you take this absinthe, you drink it, like, you're killing your brain cells at an incredible rate. Like, ecstasy laughs at you because you're killing so many brain cells by drinking this. And can you really go mentally crazy by drinking absinthe?
Well, you might cut off your ear, but no.
And those are the old days when it had the wormwood cuss.
Well, it still actually has worm in it. Yeah. Both of these have quite a bit compared to most of the other absinthe.
Now, who besides Marilyn Manson is famous for drinking this?
Van Gogh, Picasso.
Oh, Burbank. Oh, Rob, it's mine.
Napoleon.
You can't. Mike, why are you really... You're grasping onto that like you were grasping onto the microphone.
I want to make it real clear to everybody in this studio that of all those bottles there, this sucker right here.
May I see it for a moment? I swear to God, I'll give it back to you.
I'll let Rob see it first because Rob wanted to see it, and then you can bring it over.
Just see why you like it so much.
No, that's actually the stuff that we had in here that one time that it was a little goofy in here.
And the other time...
It's a new bottle. That's a new bottle.
Mm-hmm. Now, of all these bottles that you brought, Jacob, which one... is the most potent? Which one is the one that will just knock you on your ass like absinthe should?
The one I gave to Mike. It's the
bingo.
It's the
thank you.
It's quite a bit stronger than the absinthe.
There are a few things I know.
Uh huh.
That I know.
So you only brought one bottle. You only brought one bottle of the high octane stuff.
Yeah, because everybody else said they liked the absinthium better. So
okay, Jacob, let me ask you this: it's stronger how? It's stronger in alcohol or stronger in thujone?
Well, actually, both. It's got 73% alcohol.
What is thujone?
The thujone is thujone? The active ingredient, the THC-like ingredient in wormwood.
Thujone.
THUJONE.
Let me see if there's actually any wormwood in that bottle. Because in the other one there was some wormwood. There's no. Is there?
This one doesn't come.
Doesn't have jam.
Okay. Thujone.
But absinthium is high in thujone and tastes better, I think.
Yeah, the absinthium is also high in thujone. It's not as high as
thujone. From Entertainment Tonight. Cujo.
Kojo.
Now, Rob.
Kojo.
Rob.
Cujo is a scary guy. Cujo is from Entertainment Tonight.
Somebody brought in some sugar, and you have these little wacky spoons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is the whole ritual with the spoons? Because, you know, it's interesting.
Well, there's actually two. There's the way the Czechs drink it now, which is with fire and sugar.
Fire and sugar?
Yeah.
They explain.
They have a slotted spoon like this, and
yes.
They put a sugar cube on top of it. Then they dip the sugar cube in the absinthium, or the absinthe, and they light it on fire. They let it caramelize, it drips down into the absinthe, stir it, and then shoot it.
Why? Why would you caramelize it? I mean, you caramelize onions.
So you're really melting the sugar is what you're doing.
Yeah, just dissolve.
So that the sugar dissolves.
Because it's very bitter, the regular
absinthe.
Yeah,
the one Mike has is incredibly bitter.
So Mike, could you open that one up and just give me a little bit of it?
Okay. Sure, please.
I mean, if what Mike has... Now, Buzz, mm-hmm. Give me the argument why your stuff is better than what Mike has.
He's just settled the argument.
Right. That's true.
The argument is no longer an argument.
The stuff that Mike has now in his hand is stronger, apparently, both in alcohol and in Thujone or in
wormwood. I have a theory, and I don't mean to, you know, impugn the integrity of my distinguished colleague across the hallway.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to tell you that I believe that when he brought in that concoction that he made, he saved the good stuff. Himself.
Actually, just the opposite. I wanted to bring the good stuff, and there was so little of it, I tried to stretch it, expand it by adding regular...
So when you say the good stuff, it's this green fairy stuff?
Well, I know. To me, the good stuff is absinthium because it tastes better.
Oh, okay. So it's a flavor issue.
I added regular...
Get a long way with booze.
I added what you have now...
Why don't we get some pink squirrels in here, huh?
To the absinthium.
How about some Brandy Alexanders? Yeah, that'll
How about
be
a mint julep? Sure. Give me an apple martini.
Sure someone heard me.
I heard you, Buzz. I listen to you, Buzz. I hear what you... I have headphones on.
Yes, I appreciate that.
I hear everything.
I can see that.
Trust me. I hear everything. Left channel, right channel. It's like Wayne's World. Left camera, right camera, left camera, right camera.
It's very well sealed, I'll tell you that.
And why is this drink so popular, Jacob?
I guess because it has a much different effect than regular alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It gives and clear-headed... drunkenness and some creativity.
And are you a big player in the absinthe market?
Oh, the biggest.
You are the biggest.
No.
You're the Donald Trump of absinthe?
I'm going to open up this little sucker now.
Here we go. All right, Mike, go ahead.
There you go.
Well, how does it smell?
A very... I talked into the bottle. I really didn't. I haven't had any yet. A very... You know, would it be like anything else... You either like the stuff or you don't.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you know what? It's got a very warm smell to it.
Yeah.
But it really does.
You do warm up to it. The first time I had absinthe, I couldn't even drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I love it.
And the first time I had it...
With your cornflakes, what?
I do.
The first time I had it, I mean, out of the bottle, I liked it.
Right.
Okay, well, the decision is this... Do we want to get there to that point today?
Well, I mean, there's not that much time left in the show, but I see no reason why we can't have a taste.
We have a little toast.
I would like to do one thing. I would like to see him prepare it.
Yeah.
Like they prepare it, and I think we all ought to try, what do you think, this stuff?
The absinthe, sure.
Because this is the bitter stuff.
That's the one you're going to need the sugar for.
Okay, well, but I drank this without sugar.
Have a sip of it now.
Jacob,
over ice is what I like. I like it chilled.
All right. Try that.
Okay. Well, Buzz, are you challenging me?
No, I just think Mike needs to taste it without sugar and also with sugar.
I've had at my house.
Hold on.
I have a bottle of the green fairy at my house.
Hold on. Right. I'm sure the warden's on the phone. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Drinking Alone and now drinking on air.
Hi, honey. I'm just going to have a taste of it.
No, I remember, until recently, you never did this little on-air experiment. Now it's been,
It's the third time. This is the third time, but I've never gotten laced.
Technically the second time for you.
For me, it's only the second. Yeah. I didn't do it the first time.
It'd be the third time for me. And, Frida, I think the only reason we're doing this, these shows have been very highly reviewed.
No, I disagree.
I don't want to get
done. Bad reviews on the second drinking show in which...
What if Don puts a blindfold on?
If my husband doesn't drink, if you have somebody...
Yeah. Honey, listen, I had
good.
Okay, listen to me. I have a sip. I'm going to get bombed. No one's going to get bombed today. I'm large and in charge.
I just think this is, first of it's the drinking by yourself every night. I don't want to,
Hold on. If we're going to discuss alcohol, let's remember... Oh, this tape.
Two teams. Can we lie? Can we fill in 15? No, all right. All right. I don't even remember what it was. No. I got hiccups.
That's you, darling.
You know why I had the hiccups after two drinks? Because I don't drink regularly.
Right, I do.
I know. Drinking on air regularly.
You know, what's great is this is just kind of a familiar... thing hey, did you used to have when there was nudity on the
did
show.
You hear about Buzz pushing his wife off the ladder?
I did.
Buzz, I'm kidding. I'm just
I'm just kidding, Buzz.
I know. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around my sweet Buzz doing something like that.
No, he did not.
It was an accident.
He absolutely did not. We're kidding him.
He fell.
And she's fine.
Now, hey.
I'm trying to help you out.
I'm willing to give Buzz the benefit of the doubt. If it had been one of you other guys, you'd be guilty.
All right, Mommy. Well, I'll be a good boy. I love you. I'll see you later.
Don't drink, my darling. Really.
I'll see you. Love you.
Really? Really? anyway, since you don't have the naked girls anymore, this seems to be like your new outlet.
Hey, you think?
Yeah.
we need
it might be the new outlet mall.
Yeah. Let the other guys do that, and you
God.
The ship.
Whipped, I am. Whipped. But, you know, the truth is... Okay, honey, I love you.
The truth is I'm right.
The truth is I love
you. That's why you don't want to hear it. All right, CP, I love you.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I'd like to borrow my ladder.
Oh, Buzz. That was Buzz.
Wow.
No, you know, see, what she's all she's repeating is stuff that I've said to her.
Uh-huh.
And that... Really, what I really think, you know, we can't all get bombed, because right. Then the show really just goes to hell.
I disagree.
Well, go ahead. Have a sip. Tell us how it is, Mike. I didn't even plan to get bombed, but I'm just going to have a toast.
Right.
I can have a toast. Give me a toast.
All right, now I'm gonna yield to you.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bitter. But he's going to do the sugar thing, and wow. That, I believe,
this is more bitter than the last one I had. The last one seems, really.
Yeah. Now, why would that be?
Jacob? Oh, hold on, Jacob.
What's
that? Did you mic what?
Did you drink something else before?
I don't know, but you're absolutely right. This is so bitter.
Mm-hmm. You can't. It's really hard to drink without sugar.
Right.
You know, but boy, maybe that's the stuff we drank the first time.
That's why I like the absinthium.
All right, maybe I'm wrong.
Now you're gonna ping pong back the other way with Buzz now?
Yeah, because this is not the stuff that I drank the very first time. Then when Buzz brought in the concoction,
uh-huh.
which was the second time,
right?
That was a mixture of absinthium and absinthe.
I don't know. I'm having trouble remembering.
The good news is now that you agree with Buzz, you're safe to climb a ladder. No accidents for Mike.
But you know what? Hey, I'm not even drinking that because it does need the sugar. Yeah. Do you agree that it needs the sugar?
Yeah, I can't drink it without sugar.
Okay. Now, right. we'll like it better with the sugar?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
All right, well, Jacob, prepare a toast, please, and we're going to go to break.
Okay, and will you have one with the sugar?
I'll let you know, Mike.
Okay.
Because, see, I look...
Just do me a favor. Don't do the thing where, like, you pick up the glass and then... You don't?
Because I did that the first time, and I did that even without my wife. I wish my wife wouldn't call in.
I think really.
You know, because here's the thing. Are you listening, Frida? I would have taken a toast. Now you made me look like less than a man. Now I have to drink. Let's see what you made me do. Get up on that ladder.
Well, that's now, once again, it's another great tease. We're going to see what the result of this is after the commercial.
Oh, unlike the Diana DeGormo thing. That
$100 bet stands to see. I pick Fantasia, you pick Diana.
Right.
And I think I'm taking your money.
I think Diana's got a better chance of winning than I do of getting drunk today. I mean that.
And what is your... It's Jacob?
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, Jacob, you're sitting in here in the middle of all this. It's pretty thrilling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Very exciting watching the show happen.
Where the magic happens.
The moment-by-moment progression. Can you feel the energy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I feel it.
Can you smell the B.O.?
It smells great.
It's in here. Now, Mike, you're having more of the unadulterated, unfiltered stuff.
Yeah.
I'm
bitter.
You're bitter. Okay, we're gonna break. Jacob, if you would go do the... You know, the thing that flips me about this is like the burning of the spoon.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that... It's like what Christopher does on The Sopranos.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But the thing is Christopher doesn't do it with a styrofoam cup.
Right, no. Exactly.
No. Okay.
He'll just make it sweeter.
Well,
helps the medicine go down.
Go prepare your concoction. Go prepare it.
Give me some sugar.
We've not even...
Because, I mean, this is on ice already. No need to ruin it. Can I see some sugar there? Thanks so much.
So you're just going to put your own sugar
What kind of sugar do we have over there? Is that the regular pour kind?
Yeah, that'll make it go quicker.
A little commercial break coming, right?
All right, yeah, so Mike is going to just sugar it up himself.
Right.
Oh, sugar. Oh, honey.
What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, there you go, Mike.
Right.
You just put a hell of a lot of sugar in there.
I did.
You ready?
Makes the medicine. Oh, I'm not going to chug it. I'm going to nurse it during the commercial break that's coming.
Well, would you start nursing now?
Yeah, I need a spoon just to... Otherwise, I'm going to be, you know, it's going to be like a...
use your finger.
All right. Hey, you're getting really... You're looking forward to this, aren't you?
Yeah,
we've done this. This is the third time. Yeah. It's the third time in 2 weeks?
No, it's been longer than that.
Yeah,
no, 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Maybe a month.
Let's see what the sugar does
for this. Month tops.
Makes it better, doesn't it?
Yeah, usually there's a bit of water, though.
Give it a try, Mike.
Okay, let's see.
Splash of water?
And? What do you think, Mike?
That's a yes.
No.
Oh.
No, all I heard was a... it was almost like a shemp.
Maybe it was that absinthium Buzz was talking about.
What did shemp do? Do the shemp thing? That's wow. what it was.
Well, I'm going to try to make this taste good.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
Who's on absent? Howard Cosell on absent. Howard, wow. How's that?
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, now, hold on. It's got to be more than just a dog.
Yeah. Is dude drinking absinthe?
I don't know. A dude lager?
Be a deer and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
There you go. My wife embarrasses me so much. She really does. I mean, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that now the nudity was gone, I was past the point of her calling in and ordering me and yelling me at me to do something.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that came from.
Because the truth is...
What, are you've been slopping around the house a little bit? Or what, you know, like knocking over furniture? Or what, you know?
What do you mean?
You don't fancy yourself a problem drinker, do you?
I have no problems drinking.
Well, there you go.
No.
I know where that came from. That surprised me a little bit.
Because I always...
Surprised and annoyed me.
It's as you continue to drink. Because I've always prided myself at large and in charge. And frankly, part of this drink scares me a little bit. Scared me before we had it.
Let me tell you what scares me. We were making that big deal about the fact that I drank this one stuff. And then what I tasted was something totally different. And now I'm drinking the stuff that's... doesn't taste the same as, and I think I drank the buzz stuff last night.
Anyway, it was not my intent. I knew that Jacob was coming by today. He's been waiting
Jacob
for a couple
not
hours.
You know, there are a lot of people here, like during the commercial breaks, that, you know, you get a little hinky about. Jacob's a very cool guy.
Yep.
And a font of information about this mm-hmm. stuff. Amen.
Great.
And Prague, where he informs me the women are ugly.
Except your fiancé, right?
No, he was, I'm joking. He said, the women over there apparently are very, very strong.
And that's beautiful. Where you met your fiancé? Your girlfriend?
I haven't. I just date around a bit.
Oh, you date? Oh.
Good for you, Jacob.
You know, I walked in late on the conversation. I thought
he was saying that, and I've heard this from other people, that in Prague, Prague's women are very, are known throughout the world.
Astoundingly beautiful.
It's like the Manassas, Virginia of mm-hmm. that part of the world.
That's right.
Because there are beautiful women throughout Manassas, Virginia.
Absolutely. Many of whom will be at O'Mara's tonight.
Okay.
Because it's ladies' night.
Now I really know that that is good stuff.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
As I will, too. Yes, I'm done.
This brings back such good memories.
Anyway, Buzz, Jacob, Mike, let's bring in Joe and Alex Jimenez.
What is the final decision that you made? Are you going to have a sip or two?
No, and I really wasn't going to before the show today either. Mm. It's just, I hate the fact that my wife... Now it's turned into a game of chicken with my wife.
Ah.
I knew Jacob was going
to come in. Well, but I think really you're not drinking it, but you ought to have a taste just to see what it tastes like.
I can smell it.
Mm-hmm. You ought to taste it. And Hefe's coming in here. And Joe Artinger.
I can smell it when I walk in.
Hello, Alex. Alex, is Hefe the name you're going by on the show now? Or is it still just Alex?
Oh, what is that for me?
Yeah, no, it's chicken, because you're playing a game of chicken.
Oh, I see.
Mm. I thought that was for me.
Nobody was calling you a chicken for not drinking.
No.
You were.
I didn't say anything. Did you hear me say that?
No.
I'll play the Cameron Gray game here.
But I get to see your face, though, Mike.
You ought to just have a taste.
Why do I have to have a taste?
You don't.
Listen,
you don't have to.
I don't care about my wife.
No, you don't. You don't. And no one's going to think if you don't that you're not having a taste because your wife browbeat you into it.
No, that's crazy talk.
That's silly.
God damn you. God damn you.
No, you know who's saying that right now is if your wife's listening, she's cussing me out right now. This is you look up peer group pressure in the dictionary.
I know.
They have my picture of it in here.
Anyway, you guys have been lighting it like heroin and drinking it. Now, do we have some for...
Well, Jacob did here. Jacob explained that he just poured ice cold water over the sugar, which makes it dissolve, and then it's about... one-third absinthe to two-thirds
water.
Mm-hmm. And you sip it. You don't. It's not a shot. You don't knock it back.
I want to say, for the record, it was never my intent to have the drink today.
Because, exactly.
Yeah, although my wife now has made me look awful. Now I have to have it just to show her.
Well, you don't have to have the whole thing. You just have a little sip.
You don't have to get drunk.
And you only knock it all back if you like it.
Alex and Joe, go ahead and have some.
I think her only concern was that you got drunk. If you don't get drunk, you should be fine.
Now, come on, where are you?
No, this one.
Yeah, really? I'll take that one, thank you. Oh, you have another one, Mike?
Yeah, I'm going to have the one he made. Alex, Joe, what do you guys think? You smelling it? Alex, what do you think?
That's better.
I'm getting a little whiff. I'm a little worried, though, because I got to be up real late. How bad is this going to mess me up?
You'll be fine. How old are you?
26.
Come on.
You'll be fine.
Jeez. Hey, baby.
Yes?
I'm getting incredible peer pressure. Now, here's the thing. Here's where you kill me today by calling in. And I love you calling in the show. You call in on any topic you want.
And I love her calling the show, too. I do.
You're happy now.
I do. On a level that is totally platonic, I'm very fond of you.
But you undermine me. You undermine me as a man with my male friends by immediately calling and saying, no, you can't do that, when I had no intention of doing it. I'm simply going to take a sip.
I'm sure you fooled me and fooled everyone else, you know, friends and listeners, that you were going to do it. So how are we supposed to know you're only kidding?
Now, when did I make the grand proclamation that
Have you brought home any of this stuff ever before?
No.
Because Jacob gave you something to bring home, and I hope your wife gets a chance to try it.
Did I start the show today by saying the absinthe guys come in, boy, I'm going to drink it, I'm going to get loaded, I'm going to have fun? No.
You didn't say that.
No.
You didn't tell me when you ate bugs. I mean, just because you didn't say it doesn't...
What, I got to run everything by you, Mommy?
I'm not saying that you do. You're just saying, did you say that? And I said, no. But you don't tell me a lot of things. I don't ask you to run things by me.
Okay, well, so you understand, it is my decision not to get hammered on the show. But now you have forced my hand. I'm going to have to take a sip.
Well, that is childish. Well, that's the most childish thing you could do.
Just a taste?
Well, now, how do you know that I'm not holding up a diet of vanilla Coke?
Oh, dear, I've spilled a drink.
Are you asking me how I know?
So you don't know.
I've spilled something here.
I don't know. I don't know anything you do, and you don't know anything I do. I mean, when we're not looking at each other.
Thank you, Alex.
What a grand argument this is.
But that's...
Baby,
what's your position for you on Don just having a little taste?
Well, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He's a grown man. He'll do the thing that he thinks is right without my input.
You know, this has a bit of a... odor to it.
That's where the guilt comes in. He can do whatever he wants.
Nice.
Just he'll do what's right. And I will do what's right, because I'm a good guy.
You're a grown man with a fine head on your shoulders. Yeah.
That's right.
With a developing drinking problem that I'm not really concerned all that much about.
When did the problem develop? 5 years ago? The drinking problem?
It seems to be escalating, but yeah, that's all right.
How does it seem to be escalating?
How?
Yes.
Because...
Am I falling down drunk?
No, you are usually sleeping.
At about what
time? You don't fall down, you snore.
Oh, and that's why I'm sleeping every night, because I have a drink?
No, and I know the size of your drink.
I use that Andy... Hey. I use that Andy of Mayberry shot glass you got.
All right, very good. I'm sure you're just fine.
Of course, two shots. Of course, I make it with a double.
Mm-hmm.
I make a double. But she, listen, I'm ultra high functioning.
How many a night do you have?
One. I have one drink a night. Not every night, but I'll give you 5 nights out of 7 I have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Not every night. 5 out of 7.
When's the last night you didn't?
Monday night. That would be Monday night.
Well, that's surprising. I should have noticed.
Why should you have noticed, Inspector Clouseau?
Because, I mean, it's pretty regular, so I'm surprised I didn't notice that Monday night you did not.
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't you Monday night? Any particular reason?
Didn't feel like it.
Well, very good.
Didn't feel like it.
All right, well.
Well, now I'm having trouble buying that. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. This stuff...
The absinthe talking.
Frida?
Yeah.
Let me share this with you. This stuff makes you feel unbelievably relaxed, and nothing really fazes you.
It's obvious I've not had any yet. Okay, I'm like the most relaxed guy in the room. My mommy has to call up to say, don't do this, when I really wasn't going to do it anyway.
Sugar Bear, you give me advice all the time. That's all I was doing. And then I let it go.
Just say it, Buzz. Don't mouth it.
Solicit it. I mean, you ask, right?
You just say it with Buzz. Buzz is funny, especially when Buzz has had a drink.
No.
Right.
Buzz is urging me on, and he's going,
yeah.
But just say it, Buzz.
Okay. Solicit. You ask for the advice.
Yeah.
You know, we've all worked.
I often do ask for advice, but he often gives me unsolicited advice.
Oh, I see. If you were here, I bet you'd be joining in with us, though, here.
Well, sure, because I wouldn't be working.
Well, but you see, this is, in some circles, considered entertaining.
You know what? Here's the thing.
Okay, Ed McMahon.
Okay, here's the
thing. Hey, come on. No personal attacks.
I know, but that, you know, but most people, even if it's entertainment, they don't drink unless they're rock stars or Ed McMahon. I could call you. I don't know which rock star to call you. I mean, you know.
Honey, lots of people drink. Not just rock stars. Lots of people
when
drink.
When they're working?
Yes. Yes, go to Sears. Go to Sears someday.
So, do you think that's a good idea? Lots of people beat their wives. Do you think that's a good idea?
No, don't. Let's not go down that road.
Rob, stop applauding.
Rob's applauding that.
No, of course, I don't beat you.
I curse you don't.
I raise a hand to you. I love you.
Just because a lot of people do something doesn't mean.
And
it's
not
good.
Like I drink every day on the show. That's what Ed did.
Right. That's exactly right.
Wait, shouldn't you be working and not calling?
Sugar Bear, I'm very busy buying something for my mom on eBay right now.